Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello and welcome to The Villain Was Right, the podcast where we look at movies and TV shows from the villain's perspective and dare to ask, were they really all that bad? I'm your host, Craig Fay.
And I'm your host, Rebecca Reeds.
And this week on the podcast, through absolutely no popular support whatsoever,
Why?
We are doing...
Why did we do this? Why did
we
do this
it.
To you,
we're doing
ourselves?
Here's why we're doing it. We're doing it for the parents who have watched this movie.
Yeah.
And we're making it worthwhile for them. That's yeah. what I view this.
You've put this time in and now you're going to listen to us bitch about it.
Yeah. Now this is your little treat at the end. We're doing Tom and Jerry, everybody.
Holy hell.
The 2021 Tom and Jerry live action cartoon.
It's going to be an instant classic for sure.
Yeah. This is not going to be buried on. So I can't see this being any kid's favorite movie either.
I can't. Because sometimes we watch children's movies and I'm like, okay, do I not like this because I'm an adult?
Yeah.
And sometimes that can be the case. And I just don't think it is with this one. I just think it's a bad movie.
I mean, I will give it credit. I think it's a very kids movie, which I don't think they make many of anymore. Because like that whole Shrek thing happened and everyone's like, oh, you can make a movie that appeals to both.
Yes.
So I think it's very rare that they make just a, this is four kids and kids are the only one who are going to appreciate this kind of movie.
I don't know, man. I don't even think it. I don't think it goes over. I don't think it crosses over for me. Because no. I'm not saying it doesn't have to cater to me. It was just like, I wanted them to go one way or the other. I was like, you're too all over the place. I was like, I don't know. I just needed more action or less or like it was.
Yeah.
They kept putting in the. Anyway,
we'll get into it. We'll get into it. Probably not worth a watch if you haven't seen it.
No, don't watch it. Just listen to us speak about it right now. There's no need.
Yeah, but if you haven't seen Tom and Jerry, the movie, it's the titular Tom and Jerry, Tom the cat, Jerry the mouse. And they have a somewhat antagonistic relationship, to say the least. And basically it starts with like, Jerry is trying to find a place to live in New York City and he can't afford anything. And Tom is, I think, trying to make it as a musician. By the way, these characters never speak in the entire movie. So,
one sings.
Yeah. Oh, true. They kind of get into like their cat and mouse horse shit over in Central Park. They run into this girl, Kayla, who's like transporting underwear on her bicycle. Anyway, she gets fired because she drops it all. Then Kayla goes and tries to get a job at a hotel. No, she's trying to steal breakfast from a hotel, steals somebody's resume for a job at the hotel, gets the job by lying. Meanwhile, Jerry the mouse moves into the hotel and is stealing shit to furnish his apartment. And so Kayla, played by Chloe Grace Moretz, is...
Not Hilary Duff.
Not Hilary Duff.
Craig.
As Craig originally pitched.
Oh, Craig. I love me some Hilary Duff. I can't believe you got me on the hook for
this.
I
know. You're like, yes, Hilary Duff, I'm in. And I'm like, oh, no, I was thinking of the wrong actress.
God damn it, Craig. Even. This movie would have been at least 10% better if it was... And not to throw any Chloe shade, love her. Okay, yeah. I just think... I don't know. I just think it would have made it a little bit weirder and better.
That's on me. And I did text you and apologize for miscasting this movie.
He did apologize. Craig did apologize.
Yeah, this is what we get for planning ahead. anyway, so to deal with the mouse problem, Kayla convinces her boss to hire Tom to come in and hunt this mouse. And there's some cat and mouse hijinks. We're introduced to Terrence, played by Michael Pena, who knows that something's up and is like, this is a stupid idea. Don't hire a cat to get a mouse out of this hotel because they've got this big wedding that they're planning between, Preeta and Ben. And, you know, seeing a mouse will ruin the hotel. And So instead of calling an exterminator, they get a cat. The Tom and Jerry absolutely ruin the wedding. Terrence gets fired. Kayla gets promoted. Then Terrence goes and bails Tom and Jerry out of prison.
Yeah.
Brings them back to the hotel where they trash the wedding again. There's elephants involved at this point. And then at the end, they decide, you know what? We can fix it. Let's throw another wedding. And they get them two together and they get married. And Tom and Jerry can stay in the hotel. Like, it's... I feel like I talked way too long for what this movie is.
Yeah. The soundtrack to this movie was way too cool for this movie.
Yeah, it
the
was.
The soundtrack's actually pretty bumping.
It is, but then they like put it in the mouth of like weird, these CG pigeons that are like...
Yeah.
I guess it is CG, but it's like hand-drawn CG.
I don't know what it was. I didn't care for it. Whatever it was... Yeah. I don't think I loved it.
Well, at first I saw it, I was like, that actually looks cool. That looks like cartoons are there. But then you're right. Like, they weren't expressive enough. Like, I wanted them to be more elastic and, like, Roger Rabbit-y. Do you know what I mean?
All I kept thinking about was how good Roger Rabbit is. This whole movie, I swear to God. All I kept doing was thinking, wow, that's a good movie.
Yeah. Yeah, there was definitely times where it was like Michael Peña is holding the leash of the dog Spike. Mm. And you're just like, oh, you just had him run a leash along a countertop.
Yeah.
And like, you did that the easy way.
Mm-hmm.
And it's obvious on film that like, oh, he's going to run the leash along the table. And the line where they're going to do the animation is the edge of the table. And you're just like, I shouldn't notice that.
Good Lord.
in 2021, the year of our Lord.
In the year of our Lord? What? Anyway. Okay, so who do you peg the villain as?
I think the movie believes it's Terrence.
Oh, yeah, it's our boy Terrence, for sure.
Yeah, but I'm going to pitch... also that Jerry is absolutely a villain.
Yeah, for sure.
Fuck that mouse.
I hate that mouse. Get that mouse. The amount of pure destruction that happens in the, like, just the dollars of damage.
Insane.
If you had a cat that caused that much damage, you would probably, I don't know.
You'd put it down.
Yeah, I was about to say it and I stopped myself. I was like, is that too far? Is that a bridge too far? I don't know. But like, yeah, like, yes, definitely Jerry's for sure a villain. He does a lot of villainous stuff.
Well, because like, I'm not super familiar with the Tom and Jerry dynamic. I know that they're at each other's throat constantly. Mm-hmm. I know that that's their thing. I know it's like the classic cartoon cat and mouse sort of thing.
Yeah.
But I thought it was more two-sided. You know what I mean?
Okay, yeah.
Like, I thought it was like, oh, I try and pull this shit on you, so I pull this shit on you. Like, your little trap backfires, mm-hmm. and like, you know. That I really did think that the mouse was going to be more of the victim in this.
No.
No, Tom is so nice.
And he just wants to make it in the music biz.
Yeah. And let's just start with what a piece of shit Jerry.
Okay,
the mouse
sure,
is.
Yeah.
And we'll get to
piece of shit Jerry.
That piece of shit mouse.
Holy hell.
Okay, because the movie starts, and Tom is pulling what can be fairly described as a scam in Central Park, where he's got a sign up that he is a blind cat who can play piano. And he's wearing the glasses and he's playing along. And everyone's like, look at this. That's amazing. They're giving him money and all the rest. Jerry, who I don't know if they know each other at this point.
I don't think it doesn't like, feel like there's a pre-established relationship.
Oh, okay.
I don't think maybe. I don't think so.
Yeah, I wasn't sure because like either they have their whole history together.
But you if know, that's true, that's dark.
Yeah.
Because if they have a whole history together, then that means somebody's stalking somebody. You don't arrive in New York at the same time.
Exactly.
Oh my God. Can you imagine that dark backstory? Like he's actually...
It's just your nemesis. You can't escape them.
You can't escape them. There's some sort of like symbiotic relationship where you always have to be like whatever.
Yeah. They're like two suns orbiting each other, spiraling into a black hole. We got real existential. It's like yin and yang. It's like Tom cannot exist without Jerry. It's
oh
like
my God.
If Tom exists for too long without Jerry, Jerry will reemerge. One, well, they can never actually eliminate each other. They must always just, it's a throwback to our Avatar, our last Legend of Korra episode there. Jerry is Vatu. Oh.
Vatu Jerry.
But okay, sorry, back to the Central Park thing. Yeah. Jerry's immediate thing is not like, that's a great idea, I'm going to steal that idea and do it myself. He puts up a literal sign in front of Tom's act, being like, it's not the blind cat anymore, it's a dancing mouse.
Yeah.
And starts dancing and taking the money. I was like, by all means, steal that idea, you know, but go find another fucking street corner. Don't immediately.
Oh, yeah.
And a minor villain here.
Oh, love it. Okay.
Is what I would say is all those people who are like, oh, you're not a blind cat playing the piano, I'm not impressed anymore. And they take their money back, realizing that he's still a cat playing the piano.
Yeah, that's crazy.
I love that.
What I loved was watching an adult grab money from one tin and put it in the other. Did you notice that?
I did not notice that.
One hand actually just takes money out and puts it into the other. I was like, that's stone cold, man.
That is
that's
so
a,
cold.
That's a fucking frosty shake. Can you imagine? Just like you get a tip and then somebody walks up to you afterwards. Actually, no. Grabs it from your hand, hands it to your like whatever coworker. Fucking blow your socks off, dude. That would suck. Yeah.
And I'm trying. Oh, and then Tom or Jerry ruins his piano.
Mm-hmm.
He hop. What does he do? He like hops on him, or no? He drops a bowling ball on his head, and he flies up into a tree, smacks his head, and then no, that's later that he does that. It's all cartoon violence.
There's violence that happens, and his piano breaks.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah.
But
yeah.
It is definitely Jerry's fault. There is another thing that I want to say here. This is going to sound so stupid, but I don't care. So Tom, if we're going like Tom versus Jerry, who's evil, who's the good person, whatever.
Right.
I have to say the edge absolutely has to go to Tom for being better, because like he is the only one that actually displays having a conscience.
Yeah. Because he's like, got the devil and the angel on his shoulder.
Like Jerry never even stops for a second. He never stops for 1 second. He's all gas. Okay.
And 100%
ego. 100%
ego,
no filter, like just ready.
Like I love describing somebody as no filter. Yeah. And it's a character that does not speak. Yeah.
No filter, just like running through the streets. Tom actually has we see him several times go back and forth.
And debate what he should do.
What would be right to do? Jerry doesn't give a fuck what's right to do.
Yeah.
Jerry wakes up in the morning, looks at Jerry, gives him a couple finger guns in the mirror and walks out. That's what Jerry does.
Jerry, for a big portion of this movie, Tom's entire motivation is, I just need to get into the hotel because I'm homeless.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And Jerry's like electrocuting him and stopping him from coming in. I will say I did quite like that classic cartoon gag of like Tom keeps getting electrocuted trying to get in.
Yeah.
And like he does a thing and then he doesn't get electrocuted, but something else bad happens to him and then he gets electrocuted. Mm-hmm. There was a couple classics in this.
Yeah.
But I wanted it to be more cartoony.
Me too.
You know, like
I didn't give a fuck that two people were getting married.
Oh no, that is
I don't care about Chloe's character. Like there's just things where I'm like, I don't care about any of these
people.
The
human stuff is so weak in this movie.
It's so weak, and I'm like, you don't need it. There's no need. Like we gotta back it up a bit, make it more about these characters.
Yeah, if it was Michael Peña, just him in the hotel, trying to deal with the fact that this cat and this mouse keep running around causing havoc.
Yeah,
that's fine. That's all you need. You don't need the wedding. You don't need this. I mean, maybe throw the wedding in as like the big stakes thing at the end that like you know they're gonna ruin.
Mm-hmm.
But like the whole scene with Colin Jost, like Colin Jost is in this movie. Everybody,
yes.
I want to pitch you something because this is very funny to me. This is like one of Colin Jost's only movies.
Wow,
like one of his first or whatever. Like he's on SNL. Obviously, he's doing fine.
But fucking,
but like
wolf.
not a movie star. Yeah. You know what I mean? And I just want to pitch that being in a movie is pretty cool. And I imagine he was very psyched to do it and just would want to go home and talk to his wife about how cool it is. Scarlett Johansson being like, yeah, yeah, Colin, being in movies is pretty neat. When I was in all the Avengers,
yeah,
we also had to act with CGI animals.
That's so funny. You know, I didn't even think of that. That after work conversation would probably hit a little different.
Wouldn't that just fucking... Like, that'd be such a big deal for you, but to have a partner who is like, I'm one of the highest grossing actresses in the world. Like, that would be like, oh, I can't talk to you about that.
Oh, no. You know what I mean? That's like if I was dating somebody and I'd be like, and they're like, I'm going to an open mic tonight. I'm like, good for you, sweetie.
Maybe this will turn into something in 10 or 12 years.
Holy shit.
It's like, we're the same. We're not.
No.
We're equals. Yeah, no, I don't care about the wedding. And to the extent of like that it's a complicated thing, going back to Jerry steals the wedding ring.
He does steal the wedding ring. Although I gotta say, okay, I have a big problem with these insane engagement rings and wedding rings. It stresses me out so deeply. Like, I lose shit all the time. Okay.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
I bought a pair of headphones that I'm like, these are expensive to me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yep. Like, you know, when you upgrade yourself, you're like, okay, these were actually quite expensive to me. And I am just like so aware of when I have them on and I'm outside. I'm like, okay, don't lose them. Don't lose them. Don't lose them.
Always be checking where
Always be checking. And I left them in someone's car last night.
Yeah. Someone you know, though.
Someone I know. I'm getting them back. But just to say, I'm like, I can't imagine. Can you imagine just having like an expensive car on your finger?
No, I can't. The stress of that. Like there's like a treat yourself sort of level where you're like, just go a little nicer than you normally would. But with every step up of that, you're adding that little bit of stress you're talking about, right? It's like two steps forward, one step back in stress.
Yeah, like I look at a ring like that and I'm like, that could feed small countries for a bit. You know what I mean? Like, what are we doing?
Also, that's got to be impractical at a certain point.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
I would.
I mean, maybe you're not doing a lot of lathe work or something like that when you got
No, but I would scratch myself. Whatever, bang it off shit.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
I bang my body off of things. I don't know where my body ends.
Yeah.
Okay, I just don't. I have no spatial awareness. There's no way. I would deck someone with that ring on. You know what I mean?
Oh,
not
yeah.
intentionally. Just from the pure speed. If you were swinging your arm with that thing on your finger.
Oh, cut people. Like,
woo!
This is some... I'm realizing as I'm about to say that this is some real supervillain shit, but if I had a diamond that big on my hand all the time, I would just be dragging it along every piece of glass I came across.
Oh, my God.
Just that... Because diamond cuts glass, you know what I mean? Just leave a big fucking gash in every window you come across.
That would actually be a pretty fun horror villain, like a horror movie villain, like just kind of like
diamond hands or whatever.
Just like a woman just dragging the largest ring you've ever seen behind her on the ground. Just, I'm coming to get you. I didn't order roses. I wanted lilacs. I just absolutely, let's write this movie, Craig.
What's crazy to me is like it's kind of being pitched as like this men's right movie where it's like, I'm afraid of getting married. Marriage is a trap. That's how a woman gets you.
Oh my God. Yes. Just bring it so far one way, it goes the other
way.
Exactly. That's what you want.
Tom and Jerry.
Tom and Jerry, everyone.
No, but Jerry steals the ring and has it as a chandelier. And I also want to point out that, like, I'm not, you know, should we probably open up all the halls of luxury and everything and house our homeless? Absolutely. You know what I mean? Like, so I don't really have an issue with Jerry taking up residence in this very fancy hotel.
No, he's a literal mouse.
yeah, that's the other thing,
he's
right?
He's a literal mouse.
He is just a mouse.
Yes.
But what I do have an issue with is he is, like, remaking this place for him. Mm-hmm. You know, he's not just crashing on a couch. Did you realize, like, when they're leaving at one point, he goes out a mouse-sized exit in the hotel?
Yeah.
He has created a mouse size external exit with like the awning and like rotating doors. He is physically changing the infrastructure of this place to accommodate mice.
Or he just took that spot. They were renting out places.
Oh, there that's was actually
a mouse real estate agent.
There is a mouse hotel aspect of it?
Yeah, maybe.
Oh, maybe. Well, then I guess he's probably okay.
Yeah, because I feel like I don't think Jerry has the skills.
Oh, I don't know. Did you see when he moved that? He moved the mouse door. Thomas Charge Anatomy did the whole thing and he moved
it. He does have the skills. I forgot. Yeah. He's a cartoon. He can do whatever he wants. We're having a serious discussion about
cartoon physics fascinate me.
Yeah.
Like, I love the idea that there could be, like, an internally consistent rules for, like, what these cartoons are able to do and that they are different than the humans in this world.
Okay, and yeah, you've actually opened up something that I would like to talk about.
Yeah, go for it.
I would just like to ask you, did you think it was super, super fucked up when they did that whole montage scene of, like, them going to do fun stuff or whatever? As a distraction from the wedding, like
get out of here, Tom
Kayla
and Jerry.
Sends out Tom and Jerry to just like, please don't destroy anything. I'm making a day for you. Here's the deal. If you guys can get along, I'll let you stay here kind of thing.
Sure.
To get them to go away from the wedding. But there's one scene where they're at a fish factory or like they're at a fish, like a, not a obviously, but like canning
fish market,
whatever. I found it so deeply disturbing that all of those fish were cartoons.
Yeah.
Because the implication of that is that like all of these things had like big personalities. Like you see that goldfish in the office.
Yeah. That goldfish
has thoughts, feelings, emotions, like really some deep shit. And then they're like, okay, so all the animals are cartoons and then they can kind of like communicate or talk or go mouse, mouse, mouse or whatever it is. And I'm like, and then we're just looking at a genocide.
Yeah. Those are all.
I just freaked me out that they made them. I was like, you didn't need to do that.
Yeah, but you're absolutely right. So there would be one version of this movie where there's regular animals and then cartoon animals.
Yes, and the cartoon animals have a little more like awareness and right. They're just like, whatever. And those cartoon animals could have their own pets. It's like that weird thing of like, Arthur, why do you have a dog? What is that?
Right.
Yes.
But for this, it's every animal that we see is a cartoon. Like this
exactly,
is just a world
yes.
where animals are cartoons. Mm-hmm. It does make some big implications in terms of like, well, the fish is it exactly like you're eating these animals, but also animals that seemingly can't die.
Yeah. So how do you even kill those fish?
Yeah.
What kind of insane fact?
Yeah. You know how
here?
Violent that would have to be like there is a cat who has a bowling ball dropped on his head. Mm. Like that kills a cat that kills you or me. You know, but like they're elastic, they bounce back, they run around and they're like, oh, no. But the fish we can kill lots of fish. So fucked up.
Freaks me out. Freaks me out. It just feels like one of those like weird small things where I'm like, if you could just switch that a little bit.
Just
for
a little bit, please.
I need nobody's thinking about this as much as we are.
No,
nobody.
Because, no, but maybe if they'd filled this movie with more plot.
Yeah, fair enough. There is so very little plot happening. Okay, so I feel like we got to roll up now on our boy Terrence here.
Okay.
Terrence. Okay, first of all, Terrence did nothing wrong. I maintain.
No.
He did nothing wrong. Nothing at any point. Okay. Ooh, a little jealous. Maybe a side comment. Absolutely. Who hasn't been grumpy at work? Okay.
Yeah.
Your job sucks.
Well, okay. And his job, so he has a boss in this, right?
Yes.
Rob Delaney, who, by the way, I think is one of the only people in this movie who knows what movie he's in.
Oh, I would also say Joy the Bell Girl very much knows what movie she's in.
Okay, fair enough.
But I would agree with you. I think those two characters, I'm like, you guys got it.
You guys got it.
You got
understood
the memo.
The assignment.
You know this is this. Silliness.
Anyway, he's got a boss. But Terrence is the events coordinator. That is his position at this wedding. And it's the biggest event that they're having in years. And your boss is just now hiring the extra staff that you need in order to pull off his wedding. It's a week away.
That's nuts.
That's nuts. And they need super qualified people to do it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, this isn't just like, we'll hire caterers or we'll hire a bartender for the night. You know, like we can.
Yeah, it's like you have to sign an NDA to do this event.
Yeah. And they're like, so the resume that Kayla steals is like super qualified. This woman worked at all these big hotels and like hospitality reception.
Flew in from England.
And so Terrence is understandably upset that from the beginning that we're hiring people so late.
Mm-hmm.
Two, immediately notices that this Kayla girl is sketchy as fuck. She's clearly lying and doesn't know what she's talking about.
Yes.
And he says in that meeting that his daughter knows the woman who was applying.
Mm-hmm.
So I forget her name. It's like Mrs. Penny Bottom or
something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's just like, so he knows that these qualifications aren't her.
Yes.
Like he's expecting somebody else to come in and interview for this job.
And that's such a common plot point with a lot of, kids movies and that sort of thing where it's like, well, this person's suspicious of the main character. That means they're bad. And it's like, no, they really should be suspicious of that person.
Yeah.
Because they're doing some suspicious shit.
Yeah. And all of it, and like celebrities to whom you need to be careful who you bring into their proximity. In this world, you know what I mean?
Like, yes.
They're very famous. There's people who want to take photos of them, all the rest. So you just don't hire any random person off the street. You check your references.
For sure.
Like, here's the thing. That resume for sure had references on it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So even if you take the name off, they go, oh, hey, this is so-and-so from this hotel just calling to get a reference for Kayla. And they're like, who? We had Miss Pennybottom. She worked here. She was great, but
I'm actually amazed.
None of those references would check out.
I'm actually amazed anybody calls references.
Yeah.
I was applying for a place and I put down some references, but I was like, they won't call you. And then like, I got a text like literally an hour later being like, hey, so I just got off the phone with them. I was like, holy shit.
Yeah.
I didn't think anybody did that. I didn't think anybody followed up with anybody.
Because it's such an easy system to scam.
Well, that's it. I'm like, every time it's like, how do you know they're my landlord? I can just put down my friend's name and he'll be like, hey, yeah, that was great. Paid on time.
Yeah. Jobs.
Good for you. Jobs.
Yeah, worked for me for 3 years.
Great.
Always on time.
Killing
great
it.
Work. Yeah.
Done.
There's got to be a better way to do
it. I don't think I've lied on so many resumes. Well, come on. It's like, okay, I'm sorry. And I know I should be arguing that she shouldn't be lying.
Yeah.
But to say, like, there's just some times where it's like when I was trying to get a serving job.
Yeah.
They're like, okay, but you need experience. And I'm like, but how, where?
Where do I get
Where
experience?
Would one acquire?
Well, a restaurant.
That experience. And they're like, well, at a restaurant. I'm like, but your restaurant.
Like, yeah, but we need you to experience at a different restaurant.
It's
fuck
in,
up there.
Yes, absolutely insane. So I just straight up lied. But I lied like you gotta just lie a bit though. Okay,
yeah.
You can't lie the way that Kayla's lying. Okay,
no,
Kayla's like she's a space cowboy.
She even says, "I can't believe I thought my ambition would be big enough to make up for my lack of all the qualifications that I said I had."
Yes,
insane.
Absolutely unhinged. No. You're not even fucking close, dude. That resume's fucked. You gotta lie a bit, okay?
Yeah.
Like, what did I say? I think I said I served at, like, a musical theater thing for, like, 2 months. I was like, you don't have to know how to serve a lot.
Yeah.
So when they see me splash a drink or something, they'll be like, oh, okay.
You need to learn.
Yeah. Also, they called me out the first night.
Like, yeah, no, I didn't.
They were like, have you served before for real? And I was like, yeah, a bit. And they were like, okay, well, we think you're lying, but we like you, so you can stay. And I was like, sick.
Yeah, great. And now, a long career. What was I going to say? With the resume thing.
Mm-hmm.
So it is very hard for anybody to steal your job. But this is exactly what Kayla did in this situation.
Yes, so that is true.
Very
directly.
Different from lying on a resume.
Yes, that is true.
It is
true.
Like she physically, like she approached this woman, tried to scam her some other way. She's like, do you want to pay me to take you on tours of New York City?
Yeah.
And then when she's like, no, I'm here for a job interview, she literally pretended to be the person hiring her, told her to leave, stole her resume, took her name off of it, and went in and did her interview. That is literally stealing somebody's job.
Yep.
That is not.
Yeah.
Like, you interview for a job and someone else gets it, not stealing your job.
No.
You know, a million other ways that people say they stole our job. No, it's not happening. No. This is what stealing a job looks like.
You are exactly correct. You're exactly correct. I didn't think about it that way, but yes. Yeah, that's the hardest case of stealing a job I've ever seen.
Yeah, because she is, and Miss Pennybottom or whatever her name is the victim in this for sure.
Yes. So, okay. So Terrence knows that Kale is off. He's like, this is off. Immediately. He's like, this is off. I don't like this. I like my job a lot. And I know it's supposed to be like he's, you know, maybe showing off or he's being rude or whatever. But like when he was showing Kayla around the hotel, I was like, look how much this man loves his job.
Yeah.
He loves his job. He's going around. He's like, this is, he knows everybody. He's like, this is like, can you imagine if you worked at a place, like you had an employee that was just like, and this is the crown jewel. And like, you'd be like, that's sick. You're amazing. Give you a raise or whatever. Yeah. Like, it's just like, you want that kind of enthusiasm.
This guy likes his hotel. This guy likes doing events here. Mm-hmm. This guy clearly has a plan for how this event should go.
Yes.
The staff that he needs. He's got a Michelin recommended chef in what's his face? Ken Jeong.
Yeah. Love him in anything he does.
Yeah,
ever.
It's pretty fun. I'm going to throw this out here though, because Ken Jeong comes out and tries to hit Jerry during the wedding and smash it with a croquet bat, I believe it is.
Is it?
Yeah, and he's trying to hit Jerry and ends up ruining the cake. I'm just going to say, you know what's worse than a mouse at your wedding?
A dead mouse at your wedding and your cake?
The chef beating a mouse to death with a croquet.
In front of all the guests?
Yeah. That is so much worse. I'd much rather a mouse run across my foot
than
someone bludgeon a mouse to death on your wedding day.
That is something. That is the thing people talked about in the car.
Yeah.
That's
beautiful ceremony. The service is beautiful. She looked great. Excellent weather. And do you remember that part where the catering chef beat a mouse to death in front of everybody with a cricket packet? Right.
Bludgeoned a mouse. Yeah, you're right.
That's more disturbing than a mouse.
Yeah, and they're like, thank God that frosting was already red, eh?
Yeah. Ooh, give me a piece with tail.
No. Oh. But also, I would say that was one thing where I was like, that guy's not a chef. No chef would do that. No chef on earth would do that to their masterpiece.
That's true.
Those cakes take for fucking ever, dude. There's a reason they cost that much.
Yeah.
They take for fucking ever.
I believe it.
If it took me 2 hours to make a cake, I wouldn't smash it. Like,
I wouldn't eat it.
Yeah, just stare at it. They're just like, keep looking at it, spinning it. Like, I would never.
No.
Never in my life.
Most unrealistic thing in this whole movie.
Yeah.
That a chef
for
would respect
sure.
As well. But back to Terrence, I will say he is also very much against hiring Tom to get rid of this mouse, which I think is an excellent move because you are a major hotel in New York City. Okay. You for sure have some sort of pest control plan. Like, you are hiring people that come in regularly.
You're in
spraying.
New York. Okay. Yes. I have seen, you know, what I mean? Every time you go to New York, you just see a rat carrying something that a rat shouldn't carry.
Yeah.
Every time. I'm like, how does this rat have pizza luggage right now? It's insane.
Yeah.
So impressive. Yes, well, they must have a plan.
They do, because there's rats and there's mice and there's cockroaches fucking everywhere. And that's not a bad hotel. That's a city, you know? Like this is going to gross some people out, but like, I worked at a job where like we had to go into people I worked with had to go into basements and do like an inspection, right? And they were like, so they went into all the basements of all these restaurants along like the whole old part of Toronto, you know, like Queen and like Yonge and that sort of thing. And they're like, there's fucking mice and rats everywhere.
Oh,
in
absolutely,
all those buildings,
there is. Because
their basements are all connected and all the rest. So they just have like pest management come in.
They do. And that's why you need proper food storage.
Exactly. Yeah. And you keep it like that. So like the big stakes of this movie though are that like if a mouse is seen in this hotel, it will ruin us. And I was like, you're not an upstart hotel. You've been around like 100 years.
Yeah.
There is no way that I'd be like, see a mouse at a hotel in an old building and go like,
I saw one the other day in a restaurant with my friend. We were sitting down for brunch and a mouse just like went across, you know what I mean? The floor.
Yeah.
And the person who was like, oh my God, there's a mouse. There's a mouse here. And I was like, yeah, welcome to Toronto. Like, buckle up, bud.
Do I want to see it? No.
Is it there? Yes.
Yeah. If every time I went there, I saw a mouse, I'd be like, eh.
That's probably too many.
But if there's a mouse running around that's leaving you notes being like, better trap next time, asshole. Like, you'd be like, yeah.
They do get pretty mouse trappy a couple of times. Like the literal game mouse trap.
Yeah.
Terrence also releases them from their jail.
Yeah.
Which I know is supposed to be like, he's getting them like, you know, whatever, quote unquote, manipulated, using them, going, oh, well, he said this and he said that. And like, you're going to whatever, like, but we see at the end, it takes literally nothing to get them started again. It takes the gust of wit. It just takes a gust. Well, okay.
And he knows that.
Absolutely. He doesn't have to do anything. And he got them out of jail. He was the only one that knew where they were.
Yep. Kayla didn't go and get them.
Help them out and then just let them loose.
I love how they get arrested by animal control for catching, not a foul ball, an in-play ball at a Yankees game. Like, that's so fucking funny.
That is pretty funny. I do like that.
Yeah.
I also just love the concept of, like, in this universe, there's just animal control in New York just going around the streets collecting.
Yeah.
That's always so, like, funny to me.
They're allowed to hold tickets to a professional baseball game.
Yes.
And yet. If they're someplace they're not supposed to be, like, animal control comes and gets them.
That's so crazy.
Who was it I was talking about? Like, there's jobs in movies that don't actually exist. Like, dog catcher does not exist. There's no guy with a net running around catching stray dogs. Like, but it was this existential threat in all these, like, children's.
Yes.
Nobody's a dog cat. Like, dogs can be caught if they're running around, but like, there's not like a dedicated guy.
And in New York, they're not grabbing a mouse.
No.
Can you imagine?
We can't arrest the Thieves Guild. So Terrence, like, there's a little bit of villainy there where he's like, I'm going to ruin this wedding to fuck over Kayla. But it's also kind of like, that was her plan, is to have the hotel filled with a cat and a mouse that are fucking terrors to each other.
Yes, it was already her plan.
Yeah.
And the fact that she pushed them away and he just brought them back in, like, because he got fired.
He did.
He got fired at this point.
And the big incident was he was walking Spike, the bulldog, who is Ben and Priya's dog.
Yes.
And I just want to say this for the record. I don't think cartoons should poop.
That was a weird, yeah.
Right? Where he's like, there's a whole scene where like the dog ate burritos and he's got to take it out for a walk and it's like pooping it all over the place. And he's like trying to pick it up and it's not. And obviously you can't show it because it's gross. And it's a kid's movie, but he's like reacting like it stinks so much. And like the dog just has this smile on his face. So it's like, I don't need this. In a world where like you can drop a bowling ball on a cat's head and it's fine, or like slam his fingers in a piano. I don't want you to poop.
No, I don't think you have a butthole.
Thank you. That's it. That's it.
Ah, thank you. It's the Aristocats.
Yeah. Yeah. If Tom once again is walking around with that like fucking, little puckered whatever.
The puckered whatever.
A cat.
Little then maybe puckered there's whatever. Get your puckered whatever over here. Feeling sexy tonight.
The exist.
Sorry. Sorry. I'm so sorry.
Get your puckered whatever over here. I'm feeling sexy tonight. Oh, God. That's going to be our worst merch ever.
That's our worst merch ever. That's so funny. Yeah.
Available now.
That is.
And I, Terrence doesn't eventually get rehired when Kayla fucks everything up and she's discovered as a fraud.
But to my point that he just got fired. Okay, have you ever just gotten fired at a place and you have an opportunity just to push a little domino and see what happens? You know what I mean? Like, maybe a client reaches out to you and they don't know you've been fired. And you just go, I'm not answering that. Let's see what happens.
Or the information that you need is on your laptop. Oh. And it's just, oh.
Oops.
Nope.
Oopsies.
Turns out your whole business worked on that, but you didn't know that I was the sole person in possession of it.
So it just feels to me that this was just a little push of a little domino, and I get it.
Yeah.
You just got fired, and you got fired because of a woman that stole somebody else's job.
That you tried to warn it, your boss about.
Yep.
And then your boss is like, well, this is unacceptable.
She's been fucking up all over the place. I also...
Because a cat, a dog, and a mouse got in a fight. Because they had to make an exception for the no pets rule for this like high-class client.
I truly believe that there is just destruction all over this city with these characters. You know what I mean?
Where yeah. Like,
there must just be other cartoon characters just leveling blocks. Like, there's just... The amount of pure destruction these cartoon characters do is actually pretty astonishing. And nobody freaks out ever.
No.
It's like she kind of... Like, my favorite... So, Kayla walks in when she first gets introduced to... Or, no, the second time. Because she's like, oh, I recognize you. You're from the park. But she comes in the room. The room's absolutely destroyed. Like, need a contractor destroyed.
Oh, this is when Tom and Jerry are trying to get into the... Or Jerry's trying to stop Tom from getting in the hotel. He finally gets in. They try.
Exactly.
The yeah, yeah, yeah.
And she's like, oh, well, we can work out a deal. And I'm like, no. That's not a deal I'm working out with right now.
No.
I just got hired here. There's so much damage happening in this movie so casually.
Oh, yeah.
Especially not even by the cartoons, too. Like, some of it's by, like, this celebrity couple and, like, what they're doing. Like, he's just, like, driving drones around and just, like, it's just causing mayhem and, like... Their animals are also just tearing up the furniture in the hotel room. And I was like, I hate watching people that don't get disciplined at all.
Yeah. And they're like elephants. We could have elephants. That are around. In Manhattan? You're going to have elephants in a hotel in Manhattan. Are you nuts?
Yeah. They are nuts. And like, I know. Okay. So their whole relationship thing is that like, he doesn't listen to me and I just want this like nice light wedding and this guy's going nuts, but I also don't want to fight about it. And all this kind of like bag, like nobody cares about, but
yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it's just such a weird turnaround when she's like, oh, you'll listen to me now. Okay. Like there's,
you walked out on your wedding.
You walked out on your wedding,
you
and
were going
then
to fly.
When you arrive to the next wedding that's yours, it's not even your fiance.
After
that's,
they kidnap her cat.
Yes, after they kidnap her cat to bring her to this new wedding location in Central Park, which apparently we don't need a permit for.
Thank you.
We're the worst, Craig. We're such wet blankets, aren't we? We're sitting here. Where's your permit in this cartoon movie?
Yeah, and like, do you need a permit to have a little barbecue in a park? No. Do you need a permit to have a fucking wedding? Yes.
With elephants? Yes.
Yes.
Oh my God, the pure destruction. But what actually made me laugh so hard, though, I will give it up for them for this, is the fact that when, what's her, Preeta?
Preeta, yeah.
Yeah, when Preeta arrives, Kayla speaks to her before her fiance does. Like, she's, I think we've all been doing a lot of growing, and I think, and I'm like, what is happening?
Why are you centering yourself in this moment?
Yes, what, you have, I was like, this is some main character syndrome. Like, this is.
Well, I'm the main character, so obviously I'm the one who has to speak now.
It was just the weirdest thing to watch, I was like, oh, this is a weird little moment where it's like, if she hadn't arrived, if it kind of like she met her before and was like, okay, kind of hear that this is what's going on. But it's like you've arrived at your wedding and a woman you met 3 days ago is like, so here's the thing. I've just been growing a lot lately.
And we can, and also like the resolution of like, well, let's just throw another wedding as if that's like easy to do. Like that's the whole, like, do you have a tent? Do you have the sound system? Do you have all this? Like, and they're like, well, use anything at the hotel. Why? Mm-hmm. Why would you just allow, like, everything that was at the hotel just got trashed. You don't have extra stuff to do at the hotel. The resolution is bonkers, but it's also like, a fucking kids movie and they needed to get married.
Yeah, they did. They I just don't think resolution. We needed it.
But like, considering that everything that went wrong stems from the fact that there is a mouse in this hotel and they never once resolved that issue. Is crazy. I also want to point out another piece.
I love that. They never once resolved that issue.
They never once resolved that issue. The movie ends with them, like, you can stay in the hotel. And it's like, you're going to be doing this forever. You're in this death spiral. And we see that they don't get along at the end. I also want to point out, Jerry, this is another piece of shit Jerry move.
He steals
the wedding ring and then offers to give it back in exchange for him being allowed to stay in the hotel.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot do two wrong things and use one to bargain to get yourself the out of the hot water and the other. You know, you can't be like, I murdered a man, but I'll show you where I left the body if you let me get away with the murder. Like, you know, like that's.
I don't think that's ever worked.
I stole the thing. So please let me stay in this place where I'm squatting that I stole. Also stole from you. Like, you know?
Although I maintain he's a mouse.
He is a mouse.
And can we say that his little apartment did look sick?
Yeah, no.
I was like, that looks dope as hell. I would love to live there.
You know what I mean? Take the shampoo and conditioner. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Take a little terry rope cloth. They include that in the price of the room. Mm-hmm. You know? Steal some supplies, steal some stuff from the kitchen. I don't care. But you're taking some nice stuff from people's rooms. You know what I mean?
Okay, here's my problem.
He has someone's phone set up as a TV.
Yeah, and I know, okay, and I shouldn't be for this, but I'm going to make an argument that I don't care if rich people's shit gets stolen.
Fair.
I know that sounds terrible, man, but like, that's a super nice fucking hotel.
Yeah.
Downtown, it's right across from Central Park, okay? Yeah. Like, that's got to be... That's at least $1,000 a night establishment, I feel like. You know what I mean? Like, sure. There's $500. It's an expensive place to be at. So you lost your phone. Buy a fucking new one.
Fair.
You know what I mean? If I'm seeing wallets and shit, I get pissed because replacing your ID is very difficult. It is hell on earth.
You just see his breakfast table is Rebecca Reed's driver's license. It's just the worst photo of you.
Furious. I had my identity stolen once. It was the worst.
I want to pitch you one thing here, though, which is a vast improvement to this movie. How to make this movie so much better.
Okay.
And I would watch the hell out of this movie, to be clear. You don't change anything about the humans or the human cast, the script, the performances, anything like that. Everybody stays the same, same cheesy movie. In place of Tom and Jerry, I want Itchy and Scratchy.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Well, no, but I want like Itchy and Scratchy doing the Itchy and Scratchy violence thing.
And just people being horrified.
Like, yeah. It's rated R. Like Itchy is like, you know, setting Scratchy on fire, or like they're pulling their eyeballs out and like force feeding them and chopping them. Like that ultra violent Simpsons thing, but done in that same animation style where they appear to, you know?
Yeah.
I would watch the shit out of that.
Yes, they of course should make that. That's what the,
Rated R.
It has to be rated R. You got to go the whole way. Okay, we're not talking about half measures here. Absolutely, you're correct.
Tying his intestines to the back of a car and driving through Central Park as it slowly unwinds, you know?
Oh, yeah. I just love just a baseline concept of this, that a cat would be evil for chasing a mouse is so funny.
Yeah, I think Tom actually shows incredible restraint through most of it.
Yeah, no, Jerry's a bitch.
Yeah, Tom doesn't eat him when the other cats are like, eat that fucking mouse. He just puts him in his mouth and is like, oh, look, I ate him. And Jerry sets his mouth on fire when he does that. I'm trying to help you out, bud.
Help me help you.
Exactly.
Help me help you. I hate that.
He catches Jerry and he doesn't kill him. He ships him away somewhere. He just gets him out of the hotel. And I need to point out, well, again, piece of shit Jerry.
Piece of shit Jerry.
The movie ends with Tom skillfully playing the piano, trying to impress the female cat, right? And Jerry looks at him and he goes, hey, I could fuck with this. Starts hopping on the keys, just being like, look at me. Look, I'm helping. Look how cute I am. Completely throwing off Tom's rhythm. Tom gives him a gentle little flick off to the side. And Jerry goes, well, no, fuck that. Accordions him into a tree, smashes down into the piano, leaving the cat size print. Like, that is such escalation. That is insane. And then they're off doing their own thing again. Like, I was trying to play piano for a nice lady, and then you physically assaulted me.
Yeah, no, this whole
thing. I wouldn't let you mash on the keys.
Is physical assault.
Yeah.
Do you have anything else?
I'm all tapped out.
Oh my God, Tom and Jerry. Do not watch this movie. Do not watch this movie. As I think it's time for our rankings of how bad the villain was, or how good or how bad the villain was. I've got the things I hunt for scale.
Okay.
From a delicious sandwich to any deal of any kind. Love a good deal. Yep. I am going to give Terrence a fun time on a Friday. I'm always hunting for a fun time on a Friday. Craig and I are a little hungover today.
Yeah, this is... I had to share a lift.
No, I think he's a fun guy. I don't have any problems with anything he does. Sometimes maybe you do something a little wrong on a Friday. That's okay. We forgive you. It's Friday, baby.
It's Friday. I love it. I did the cartoon predator scale. Okay. Sorry. Cartoon predator prey scale is what it is. So on a scale of Sylvester and Tweety Bird to Itchy and Scratchy, I'm going to give Terrence a coyote and roadrunner. He'd be, of course, the coyote because he's just trying to do his job real well. And keeps getting sidelined by bullshit.
Yep, pure bullshit.
Pure bullshit.
Now, before we get to our heroes and villains of the week, guys, of course, there's a couple of ways you can help out the podcast. If you would like to follow us, you can follow us at VWR Podcast on Twitter, Villain Was Right on Facebook, villainwasright@gmail.com if you want to slide in to our... to our email. I don't know. Sometimes you guys send us great stories. I love the stories. You guys send it. Trust me, we read all of them. Love them. Keep sending those out to us. And if you guys have a couple of bucks.
Yeah, absolutely. We are on Patreon, patreon.com/thevillainwasright. Patreon is a monthly subscription service where you can support the artists that you like. And hopefully that's us. We have a $1 tier, which is just ad-free episodes. So if you want to get the same quality episodes on a Thursday that you get normally, but without the ads, hey, we can help you out there. So for just $1 a month, you can do that. We have also higher tiers, early release of episodes. We have voting on our audience choice. And we have our top tier where you get 2 bonus episodes every month. This month it's going to be a Lady Bird for me. Is my choice.
I felt feelings.
Felt feelings. Yeah.
I felt feelings.
That Oscar nominated movie. If you want to hear us talk about movies where the villain wasn't quite right, check us over on Patreon. And if not, thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for supporting, telling your friends, rating and reviewing us on iTunes or whatever service you use. We appreciate it. Thanks so much. And now it is time for our heroes and villains of the week. I've got a light one today, but it's a hero. And it's shows that are so for Craig.
Ah, love
TV
it. Okay.
Shows that are so for Craig that I, for some reason, have been sleeping on for years.
Okay.
And the first show of that is, on the Apple TV or Apple Plus or whatever it is, For All Mankind, which is a alternate history show about what if the Russians beat the Americans to the moon and the space race never ended. And so it starts with like the Russians landing on the moon and like what that means for NASA and all this stuff. And I watched like the pilot episode and I don't know, I have a problem getting over pilots. Like I'm just like the pilot's fine, but never revisited. And we started watching it and it is gripping. It's like cool, like 60s, 70s era, like Apollo in space, but now there's bases on the moon instead of like, it's just, and there's like confrontation with the Russians. Like it's just really cool. Really like it. And the second show, that is so Craig that I didn't realize and was avoiding was the Orville, Seth MacFarlane show.
I've actually heard very good things about that
show. So when that show first came out, I was like, oh, it's Seth MacFarlane making fun of Star Trek and making a lot of, I've got to be on a ship with my ex-wife. You know, can you believe my ex-wife is here? Jokes. And watching it, it's not that at all. It's like a loving homage. Fromage, whatever it is. It's a loving fromage.
Fromage!
It's a loving cheese.
Yeah, to like the next generation, like Star Trek: The Next Generation. Like, yeah. they're copying sound cues. They're copying like, and they do this beautiful job of doing these like single episode moral plays, these moral metaphors, where they actually get into like gay rights and trans rights and all these things, like with these like really wonderful metaphors, and where, you know, the crew is like, what is the right thing to do? You know, like they have a species of all male aliens, right? They're all males, and they're like, oh, what happens when one of them is attracted to a female? Like, what, like, you know, okay, so it's like, you know, your sexual preference is wrong and perverse in our culture, and how do they do that? But then on top of that, some just, it's like that Star Trek, that classic Star Trek, but with jokes. Like, so the B plot of one of these episodes is the Worf character, like, yeah, you know, gets a mustache. Like, that's the B. Like, and it just, it
I
adds,
like that. Yeah, that's a lot
and it's
of fun.
Just like, it adds a little bit of levity to like these like really strong sci-fi moral play episodes. And yeah, I can't believe I've been sleeping on it for so long. Really enjoy it. Burned through like the first two seasons. And check it out. Yeah.
That's great. I love that. Oh my God. I also have a light one, but I found a place.
Yay!
I found a place. I'm moving. I'm so excited. I move next week. I'm so fucking pumped. It's always so stressful to find a place, especially in Toronto, but we found a place. I'm so excited. We went through a realtor. She was super younger than me. So much younger than me. You ever do that where you show up and you're like, Jesus, how old? You look like you're 17. What's happening? How do you have your life so together? But yeah, because I'm a mess. Anyway, and it really did force me to do everything. Like I got like tenants insurance. I got the hydro hooked up. I got the internet hooked up, but I'm just like never this person.
Yeah.
So I just got everything done. And my hero of the week is just going to be literally every person that helped me. I'm so excited. I've been offered literally so many people have offered me help. It's just been really wonderful. I feel so relieved. I'm so excited to have a place. And that's it, guys. That's it for this week. I know that sounds crazy. It's how I feel. It's all I'm so excited to move. It's all I can think about.
Yeah, you're well earned and
plus
well
I'm like doing that whole thing where you're like, okay, like I mean, you know when you're excited to move into a place, you're like, I'm gonna paint this wall and I'm gonna do this and I'm like going on. I picked up a lamp before I showed up here that I bought in an auction. Anyway, if you guys have any sick design tips, like just let me shoot them at me. Do you have a cute corner in your home? Send me a pic. I'm designing this place and I want to figure out how I want it.
It's going to look great.
I'm so excited.
Can't wait for that housewarming.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Anyway.
Look at me making it about like, throw a party.
Throw a party. I'm going to. And you're invited, Craig. Guys, but that's it for us. As always, you can follow me at Rebecca Reads on any platform of your choosing.
Yeah, and you can follow me at Craig Faye Comedy on Facebook or Twitter as well. I will be recording an album very soon. Yeah, I have an album, my second comedy album. So if you're in Toronto, you can check out comedybar.ca. It's July 19th and 20th at Comedy Bar. Tickets or craigfaye.com. You can check out upcoming shows. There'll be a link to tickets there. Would really love to see some of you Villain Was Right fans out there. If you can make it, would really appreciate it. And yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to be there too, guys. Roll through. I'm so excited about it. Guys, next week, I'm so excited. We are covering Spider-Man No Way Home. I'm so, so, so excited to cover this movie. So many good villains. So much to talk about. Guys, and that is The Villain Was Right, reminding you to stop chasing your mouse.
The Villain Was Right is produced by Andrew Ivamy as part of the From Superheroes Network. For more great podcasts like this, as well as webcomics, articles, and so much more, visit FromSuperheroes.com.